I feel like I'm echoing. The Lord's put some things on my heart tonight. And Psalm 23 just goes in my spirit quite a bit. I think about it quite a bit. And where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He makes righteous paths for me." And you know, I want so much for this place, and there are other places here, other ministries, to where people, where the Lord God, our chief shepherd, causes them to lie down in green pastures and find rest and are fed, amen? And a peace of God that transcends all understanding will get a hold of them, just like, you know, they lead me beside the still waters. And in this place and in your ministry, the Lord is going to restore people. Amen? Amen. So one of the things that over the years, my desire has been to be an under-shepherd of Jesus Christ. I have set my heart to do it all my life as a believer, 40 plus years. It's hard to believe it's gone by. And I just want to help people. I want to see people set free from all the stuff of this world and see them walk in liberty and full of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit flowing out of a life. I mean, it's what I live for. And, you know, Jesus is our chief shepherd. And I point people to Jesus. And I just want to be a faithful under-shepherd to him. And Todd will tell you the same thing. And we want to see people fed, and we want to see them delivered and set free. Amen? And Tim and I was talking, he talked about his ministry in the seniors home, and he's a shepherd there that God has placed there for those for the sheep that are there. And many of you are going to find yourselves shepherding. Amen? You know, we talk about prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but, you know, I just look at myself as an under-shepherd to the Lord Jesus, and I want to be faithful to what he's assigned me to. Amen? How many of you are with me on that? One of the things that I've learned through the years in ministering to the people that I've met, and by the way, this year is going to be an incredible year. There's all kind of words going out that there's a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's upon us. And in that, I'm looking at the season, I'm looking at the time. You know, I want to be a new wineskin. I don't want to be an old wineskin. I understand that God's doing some things differently than he did many, many years ago. And I want to conform to what the Lord is saying now. And whatever he has for me to do, I want to do it. And I'm not worried about titles. I'm not worried about money. I'm not worried about anything but seeing people minister to and set free. And so over the years, I've been in situations where I've had the privilege of ministering to a lot of different people. And, you know, people are in all kind of different areas in their lives. But one of the big things that you and I will minister to people as shepherds is we'll lead them into areas where, by the way, people are just bound up. I mean, our society is not preaching the gospel, by the way. I want to see people set free and delivered, and I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about forgiveness of sins and that we need to forgive one another. How many of you have ever had the need to forgive somebody? I certainly have, and it's always a believer. You know, most times it's a believer anyway. And if you have your Bibles, look with me, please, in Matthew chapter 6. And let's look at verse 9. It's the Lord's Prayer. "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Have you ever had the scriptures kind of lift off the page and you get a revelation of it like you've never had before? This jumped off the page to me, where Jesus said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so he said this, the will of God is not always being done on the earth. Otherwise, Jesus would not have said it. And we want to see I want to see the will of God in my life fulfilled. And I want to obey him, and I want to bring him honor and glory. And one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account. And I don't want to be ashamed on that day. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. So his will is not always be done. And I've gotten discussions with people about that God is sovereign and that everything that happens. So I could show you, Jesus said this. And it's not God's will for people to die of cancer. It's not God's will for people to die in automobile accidents. It's not God's will for people to be murdered and abused. And so people think, well, you know, depending on what kind of doctrine you got, that God is sovereign. Everything that happens is his will. Negative. It's not his will. So I am praying for God's will to be done. You know, and let's read on here for verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And as ministers and as shepherds, you're going to have to lead people in a prayer for forgiveness for others. Sometimes the wounds can be so great, the offenses can be so great, that people just don't know how to, you know, it's hard to do surgery on yourself. And so you, as a skilled craftsman in the Lord, a surgeon, God will use us to lead people into prayer and to reveal and expose this unforgiveness and this where people are just bound up. And, you know, the word trespass here, the Bible talks about three types of sin, basically. There are offenses, there are transgressions or trespasses, they're used interchangeably, and there is iniquity. And iniquity is where the Bible talks about, it's a word in the Hebrew, and it's talked about avon is the way it's pronounced. But it looks like it says Avon, you know, like Avon calling. And so iniquity is the sin that damages people. If you get into sexual perversion, it's going to damage you. It's something that works on your insides that is going to damage you. And one of the things we've done over the years in praying for people who have come out from among them and gotten saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, we lead them in prayers because the Bible says if you have relations with someone, you become one with them. And one of the things we do is we take authority over that and we break that union. Those people have gotten involved, and boy, watch the freedom that they get. Jesus said, you got to really catch this. Of course, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. But he also tells us to go and to remit sins. And to remit somebody's sins is that you stand in the gap. And by the Holy Spirit who gives you discernment, you can see deep down inside of somebody and see what they're facing. I've been many times where I had no knowledge of a situation and the Lord gave it to me and people were gloriously set free. And in the days ahead, a lot of people are going to come into the kingdom. And the Lord is going to set them free and he's going to deliver them from the powers of darkness. Amen. But I have found that unforgiveness is a crafty thing. It's extremely deceptive. And you could have unforgiveness and not realize it unless the Holy Spirit, by his grace, reveals it to you. And, you know, when I think about iniquity where people are damaged and they're hurt and they're wounded, and, you know, the word iniquity talks about perverseness and everything else, but the word trespass here is used interchangeably in the Old Testament with transgression. And by the way, the word iniquity, you'll see it in the New Testament, but oftentimes it's translated as lawlessness, wickedness, and evil. And I want to see have you ever seen somebody get delivered from demonic oppression and watch their countenance change before you arrive? It's a miracle to me. Yes, it is. It's quite profound. So I am constantly checking my heart to make sure that I don't have any unforgiveness. And This word trespass also has to do with this, okay? It has many, many meanings to it, but I'm gonna kind of give you something to you. When people speak evil against you, and maybe they're gossiping, and they're making accusations against you, what they're doing is they are trespassing against you, and in essence, what they're doing is you're being persecuted. I've had people come up to me and, you know, say, you know, heard this guy say something about you, he didn't like you, whatever. And my gosh, I thought, well, what's not to like? I thought, you know, really kind of hurt my feelings because I can't, what have I done? I mean, you know, can you give me their name where I can go to them if I sin against them, what I can repent? But oftentimes that's not the case. And the enemy will use people, Christians, to persecute other Christians. And it's so deceptive. You got to see this. You got to be careful. Your words are powerful. The Bible says we're going to give an account for every word that we speak and every action. And you're going to have to judge what comes out of your mouth. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 10. You've got to look and see what's coming out. And you know, the mouth is where we get in trouble. This, you know, the Bible talks about, it's a deadly, ruly thing, you know, and it sets flames of fire, you know, and so forth. And no one can tame the tongue, but I'm telling you, if you submit it to God, he will enable you to shut up and keep your mouth from sinning. One of the very weaknesses that I have over the years is I run my mouth too much. And I had hoof and mouth disease, what they call it. Or I spoke before I loaded my brain, whatever. But I look back and I think, God, why did I say that? Why did I say those words? And I thought, you know, if I can find them, I'd go to them and ask them to forgive me. But a lot of times, years have gone by, and the Lord showed to me later on, and some of them have passed away, some people that I thought about. And it's not that I spoke evil against them or anything. I just wasn't hearing the Holy Spirit on their behalf as, you know, as an under-shepherd to Jesus. So people, by the way, I get on YouTube, and most of the believers that are being persecuted are persecuted by other believers. And because of their doctrine, you know, they don't understand some things. So anybody who prophesies, because they don't believe prophecies for today. But I'm going to tell you something. If you take this word and give it to somebody out of your neighborhood and lock them up into a room and say, here, read this, and they get saved, they're going to come out believing all this. They're not going to come out believing something else. But I'm believing that God is going to, in this outpouring of the Spirit, people are going to be sovereignly baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, I was alive when the charismatic revival was going on. I came into it at the latter stages of it. It started in the 60s, and it started in California, swept a powerful, powerful anointing of God, just an outpouring of His Spirit. And many are saying that the one that's coming is going to supersede that. But there was a man by the name of Jack Deere. Jack Deere was a seminary professor in New Orleans, Louisiana, one of the most conservative seminaries for the Baptist faith. And, you know, I love Baptists, you know, and I'm not speaking against them or anything. And he would speak against the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. He would speak against it. And in the middle of the night, when this revival hit full blast, Jack Deere was in his bed, and he relates this. He jumped up and he sat up and he started speaking in tongues. And he said, what in the world's gotten a hold of me? And God sovereignly baptized him in the Holy Spirit. And he was not the same after that. I mean, it's just totally different. And this anointing and outpouring is going to be different. So I'm getting a point here, was that unforgiveness, if it's working in your life, it will eventually, you'll become bitter, you'll become resentful, You'll become angry. You'll become violent. And it will poison your spirit or poison your soul. And so, you know, I'm not fishing. I don't believe in going fishing, but I have examined myself. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Listen to me. If you ever go to a deliverance session, you're one of the ministers, you're going to find a way to clean yourself up. I promise you, you will. Somebody will call you up and says, hey, you know, I got this guy, man, he's bound by demons, and he's getting saved, you know, and will you come? And I think to myself, well, Lord, I don't want to go. Because I know the cost. So you go, and in the meantime, you start repenting of anything. You say, God, help me. Help me, Jesus. I'm getting ready to go. And because you better make sure you clean up, because you're going to face some things and hear some things the enemy will use against you and shake you to your core. Mm-hmm. Or you go to prayer meeting. Yes, you're going to do a little prayer meeting at home. You're going to find yourself a way to examine yourself and get rid of all that junk. So, trespasses, people are going to speak. I don't care who you are. People are going to speak evil of you. And it may get back to your ears, or they may get around you and really kind of feel funny around you, you know, distance from you and so forth, because it creates an offense in people. And when I found out that people that were not speaking well of me, and there were a few here and there, I said, Lord, I forgive them. I will not retaliate. I will not speak evil of them. And I ask you to forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing, God. And I'm talking about spirit-filled believers, most of them that I've encountered. About 15 years ago, I had this dream that I've never forgotten. I'm not going to go into the details of it. But in this dream, the Lord showed me two evil spirits that were assigned to me and launched against me. And these evil spirits in the dream were disguised as little, beautiful, blonde-haired boys. But they were out to destroy me and were making accusations against me. And the Lord said this, one of these spirits has been sent to your family. And another one has been sent to your friends and your companions and people you fellowship with. And the purpose of that is to bring you problems and to stop you in your faith and get you bogged down, get you all locked up and feeling sorry for yourself and so forth. You know, my wife, sometimes once in a while I'll go on about something. And she looked at me and she said, you gonna feel sorry for yourself? You getting into some self-pity over there? And I got mad. I said, woman, I'm here bearing my heart to you and you tell me. But the Lord, she was right. And I shook myself up and I got up and I started speaking correctly and I started repenting of my bad attitude. You know, let me show you something here. Flip over to chapter 5 in Matthew. Jesus said, you have heard that has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But as I say to you, love your enemies and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Many years ago, I was an associate pastor at a church in Charleston, South Carolina. And there was somebody who was a part of the ministry of that. And they came to our local ministry, and he was an associate pastor as well. And the saints of God, for whatever reason, the guy started persecuting me. I have no idea why, but he so wounded me, because you're vulnerable. You can be vulnerable to people that are you close to. Don't you know something? If someone comes up and stabs you in the back, they transgressed against you. And I'm not going to retaliate, but it so devastated me, and I could not shake this thing. So, you know, under all the principles, I said, all right, I know I'm going to, by the act of my will, I'm going to forgive this person. And the feelings will come later on. And that's the honest to God truth. But I could not shake this guy for the same thing. He openly humiliated me and embarrass me. And all I did was try to serve him. And it said here, I get this guy to hold me, pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And this guy was doing this in full, and I promise you, saints, I could not shake that. But when I saw here what the Lord says, pray for them, I began every day, I was faithful. I prayed for this man probably around 2 hours every day. I would pray and pray and pray. I can't tell you how long this went on for. And I remember I was out fishing, but he was before, and I kept praying and praying and praying. And suddenly, I felt it left off of me. I felt peace flood my soul. I saw him, I had a vision of him, and I saw him completely different as one of God's precious children. And I could feel the anointing of God, me and the fish. And I forgave him. I said, Lord, forgive him. And it never bothered me again. I could get around him and my insides would not jerk. Everyone around my leg, the insides jerk. It was a real example to me. But let's look at Matthew 18. I'm going to close with this. Matthew 18. And let me read this. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle account with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was unable to pay his master, the master commanded that he would be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and that payment would be made. The servant therefore fell down before, saying, Master, have patience on me, and I will pay you everything. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him all his debts. And where Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us of our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He laid his hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down to his feet, begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not. He went and threw him in the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came to their master and told all that he had done. Jesus is going to find out. Then his master, after he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you, to each of you, from his heart who does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, this scares me like you wouldn't believe. And I've heard many talk about the fear of the Lord. The ungodly, the people in this world do not understand that term. But the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is knowing that, God, first of all, God is very real in your life. And you know he sees everything. And there's tremendous respect and awe of Almighty God. And we don't want to do anything to disobey our Heavenly Father. And by the way, transgression is disobedience and rebellion, or trespasses. But I've discovered this. And the Lord looked at me and said, you know, how much do you fear me, boy? How much of the fear of the Lord is in your life? I said, well, quite a bit, Lord. And he said, kind of, you know, not word for word, but he said, well, get your conversation right. You cannot, listen, the fear of God, if it's in your life, it's gonna take effect on your mouth. It's going to put an accountability on the words that you speak.
And I said, God, I want to fear you, and I want the fear of the Lord be present every moment in my life. And over a period of time, I started judging my words and holding my peace and not striking back when I'm all angry and mad and hurt and wounded. I keep my mouth shut.
I'm not perfect. Occasionally I slip up a little bit, but I do not want to wound somebody. To wound somebody with my words is a high crime before the Lord. Are you with me? And if I find out I do, I'm going to go to somebody and beg as a servant for their forgiveness. Because I don't want them walking around with them having to forgive me. It's a sobering thought. And you think, well, Lord, how many people out there, need to forgive me for what I've done? And fortunately, the Lord didn't tell me all of them, because I really don't want to know. So if the fear of the Lord is working in your life, it will govern your mouth. And that is the instrument that the enemy will use to destroy others. And you do not want to be a part of what the enemy is doing. You can have this thing of being offended and trespassed on, and people just come and trample on you, and speak these words and all. And I'm going to tell you something, the older you get, by the grace of God, the less it'll affect you. After a while, you hear it, and it just kind of rolls off your shoulders. And you pray for them, they don't know me. And you release them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to say something here that I believe the Lord's given me, and I think it's profound, because it was profound to me. There are people here that are in my age group. I see Ryan over here. I once was young like Ryan, but now I'm older. And you got to guard your hearts, saints. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And one of the ways it is this little tongue here that wants to waggle. So I had a vision of my brother John, and there he is. I had a dream about John. And on this dream, it was a short dream, he was standing on a mountaintop. And there were four huge, children's blocks. There were four huge ones. And one flipped, one, two, three, and then four. And I went up to John and said, I had this dream. Does that mean anything to you? And no. But then the Lord showed me the meaning of the dream. John, you are in the fourth quarter of your life. You are standing on the mountaintop. The heavens are going to open up, and you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending. You're going to see the Lord high and lifted up, seated at the right hand of the Father. It'll revolutionize your life even greater than it is now. Things have happened to you that weren't the will of God. You know that. You're a wise man. But the Lord told me to tell you this, and it's speaking to me too, because you and I are contemporaries. Outside, I'm fading away. My hair has gotten gray. I've gotten a little wrinkly. Keep these cell phones away from me because they're high def. Oh my gosh. You see all these things. Dear Lord. But the Lord told me to tell you this and told me to tell the other brother here. Your spirit is not old. Your spirit is not gray hair. Your spirit is not wrinkled. Your spirit is aged in the Holy Ghost. There's experiences you have, and you have developed your spirit to where you can discern good from evil. And as you get older, here's a thinking that we all got to watch out for. Is my time up? This is one of my last points. The society says All right, you're getting older, so you're becoming useless. People tell me, says, well, you know, we're just a couple of old fartabakers. I look at him and said, you can receive that if you want to, but I'm in my prime. So I confess what the word of the Lord says. You know, Psalm 103, the Lord will renew my strength like the eagle. And what was it, Psalm, I can't remember. The Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I am strong and the word of God abides in me and I overcome the wicked one. So all my brothers and sisters out there, redo your thinking. Because God sees you, you are not old. You're not wrinkled. Your spirit is going to live forever. And when this body fades away and goes, God's got a brand new body. And we're going to be with him in his new kingdom. And forever we will be with the Lord. Amen. So, examine your heart. Listen to what comes out of your mouth. And if it's something bitterness or whatever is there, ask the Lord to show you who it is you've not forgiven, who it is that offended you, and release them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Did good. I think it's that speaker that one over there. Amen. Y'all hear me okay? That's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, there's levels of forgiveness, and I just gonna, before I get into what I had to share, but it's not a difficult thing to forgive someone when you're in the presence of God, because that the presence of the Holy Spirit will come upon you in a way that it's a type of conviction to me that I can see my shortcomings. And so I can look at another person as more higher than myself. And that's what the scripture says, to look upon other people as higher than you. And so it's an attitude. But the many people, one of the things the scripture talks about, that if you don't forgive from your heart, then the Father won't forgive you, but he also turned you over to tormentors. And people that are in unforgiveness, if you really look, they're in a level of torment. And so that's why it's so important as ministers that you are able to communicate to people the lethalness of unforgiveness and how it can affect your body, affect your mind, affect your life. And the thing about it is, I mean, people do things to us and they do deserve a smack in the face. You know, I mean, I've had that thought about, I remember one person was giving me such a hard time, I encouraged him to pick a fight with me. I said things to him. I wanted him to take a swing at me. I mean, I really did. I mean, that's just where I was at. I was in my 20s, and I wanted to beat him up. And, he was doing so many bad things, not to me, but to other people, young kids and stuff. And so I was just really, motivated to kind of get him to take a swing at me. He didn't, but I really, pushed his buttons as much as I could. But, you get to a place in your life where it's just not worth it. And so you're going to minister to a lot of people that need to be set free. And one of the things I would submit to you, and I've said this here many times, is that you have the level of forgiveness where you see Jesus on the cross, he paid for our sins, and we need to forgive people. But you have to get to another revelation of actually looking through his eyes on the cross and have an understanding that he viewed humanity, past and present. And he said these words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so you can really unlock that vice that's on an individual, it's unforgiveness, when you can give them that revelation. And so they can understand and release that person, because if they don't know what they're doing, then you can forgive them. It's like a dog I tried to raise. I could never train a dog properly. I couldn't get him not to eat the garbage in the garbage can. Every time he just keep going and just start tearing into it. I come home, the garbage can is on the thing, and I couldn't get him to stop. Well, he couldn't help it. I had to forgive him because he couldn't help it. He just could not help it. And there's people that just can't help, they keep going to the garbage, and that's why we have to forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, and so we have to release them. And I know that, but the reason I'm saying that is that many people in here, you probably don't have those issues, but there are many people out there that do, and they're bound up, and a lot of them are God's kids. And so they just need to have that revelation. And so God would empower you to be able to minister to people, to give them that revelation. Because the thing about it is, when you can just talk about it, but you have to understand there's some, the power of God is within you. You can release a word from the midst of your spirit that carries power. So you're not just telling them something, you're imparting something that reaches right down into their hearts and sets them free. Because when they have that perspective that that person didn't know what they're doing, it's a different perspective. And it's easier to let go. And so, because that's you know, Jesus did for all of us. Amen? So, I'm in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "Thus has God fulfilled what he had foretold by the mouth of his prophets, that his Christ, the Messiah, should undergo ill treatment and be afflicted and suffer." That was one of the things that was so hard for the disciples to get, is that Jesus was foretelling this. He was talking about this. And Peter, you know, gets up and says, "No, that won't happen to you, Lord." And then he turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan. How'd you like to follow the Lord?" And he tells you that. I mean, the enemy manipulates people. And he can manipulate good people. And I've learned that over a period of years, that sometimes things come out of people's mouths that I know because of what they said, that didn't come from them. And you can get to a place where you walk with the Lord where you can discern these things. I mean, have you ever just, you know, somebody, you know, you're driving along and you didn't really cut anybody off. You really didn't do anything. But that person in another car, you know, you can tell they're calling colorful adjectives to you and giving you different signs. And I'm like, I didn't even do anything wrong. What's wrong with that guy? You know? But then I come to realize he's being manipulated by the enemy, and I'm not going to react and sign back to him. You see what I'm saying? And so, you know, many of you probably have been in situations like that. You might, you know, on the way home, somebody might cut you off, and, you know, and you know what to do. You just say, you know, God bless them. That was a magnificent maneuver that they did in front of me. You got to respect it. My athletes could never figure out why I was like that. He said, why are you respecting that person? Because it just took a lot of guts to cut in front of me, you know? And sometimes you just have to turn the tables on the enemy, right? So verse 19 says, "So repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, that times of refreshing," this is really that word refreshing, it says a recovering from the effects of heat and reviving with fresh air, "may come from the presence of the Lord." So, you know, Peter is preaching here, you know, to the unsaved and to the Jews and what they've done and all that. So he's preaching to them. So it's relevant to them, but it's also relevant to us. But that word repent is very important. And one of the things, you know, it talks about in the scriptures in the last days will be false prophets and all kinds of deception. Well, one of the things about prophets is that if they're not talking about repentance, if they're not talking about change, I always wonder if it's an authentic word, because that's what they do. But see, when you lead somebody into repentance, or you say you have to repent, they have to explain that. You know, well, what do you mean? You know, I mean, I've repented for my sins. But repentance is change. And one of the things that's coming to us and requiring of us is change. And, you know, we have to change some things. And you're probably very much aware of that. The Holy Spirit, hello, if you're on earth and you're in the body of Christ, he says, I want you to change. I want you to repent of your ways, but also of your directions. And when God wants to bring change into our lives, we have to realize that's a good thing. And some of you have been crying out to change. But the reason why you're crying out is because the Holy Spirit has brought a level of conviction to you, not to damn you or anything like that. the conviction of the Holy Spirit just brings things to attention, but then you come in line with it, and it is your will that you want to change. And he gives you the way to change. He gives you a path. And you know, you tell the Holy Spirit, God, just change me like that. Well, I know you can do it. And I'm aware of this. I'm so tired of my attitude or whatever it might be. But it doesn't happen like that. But the will of your heart and the purpose of your heart and the attitude of your prayer and the communication of the Holy Spirit brings about the information and the direction to bring change in your life. It's just up to us to take little steps. That's the refining fire of God manifesting in your life, because there's a desire within you to become complete and perfect. And you can't get to that place without the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that he tries to realize is you're not really trying to get somewhere. You already have it within you. And so it's not about change in the sense of I've got to do this and this. It's a change in the sense of conforming to an image. And that is the direction that he's taking, conforming into his image. Because that's what it's all about. That's the objective of the Holy Spirit, to bring the refining fire on us. That's why when Jesus talked about, you know, I will, you know, he's coming who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and then it says, and fire. Well, they left out the fire part when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the fire was there, believe me, and something got burned out of me. There were things that fell away, but there were things that didn't fall away. That took a period of years to come to that place where that change and that conforming to his image, you know, had to take place. It was a process. But if one day is 1,000 years to God, that means 1 hour is 44 years here. So really, the process is quick. It just stinks for us because it takes time. See, time is here, but time's not there. And so we're all in that same Holy Spirit class. We all have that training harness on us. And so the desire and the prayers that you put before the Lord, he's answering them. He's conforming you into his image because that's your heart's desire. If that wasn't desire within you, you would never ask him to do it. You know, Jonah had an attitude problem. Did he not? He said he fled from the presence of the Lord. That's the most unintelligent thing I could possibly think of. Where are you going to go? He goes, I'm going to go on a cruise. So he thinks he's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. But the thing about it is, the word of the Lord came into him to deliver that to Nineveh. He had no choice, because when the Lord releases a word, guess what? It's going to happen. You may not know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And he brought him to the place where the fire came on him and the refinement came on him, and he learned some lessons when he was in the belly of the fish. Now, a lot of people think, well, that's just an illustration. No, it actually happened. Jesus confirmed it. But the world would never believe that. But I tell you what, I've seen enough of National Geographic. There's plenty of fish out that can swallow you. I wouldn't want it to be a shark. Maybe a whale shark, or maybe a grouper. That's my favorite fish to eat. And we don't know if he died in there, but you know, because he, you know, but he, you know, obviously had seaweed or something wrapped around him. And I don't know, you know, I always wondered, you know, you're in a fish, you got digestive juices. Was he bleached white when he was spit out? And is that why Nineveh repented, because he was so strange looking? I have no idea. So, you know, those are just some questions that I have. But when he came out of that, he delivered the word of the Lord, and he was upset because he knew that God would forgive them. He knew that God was not going to do what he said to do. But Nineveh did come under judgment. It just didn't happen then. And he still had an attitude problem after that. So, like I said, it's a process. And then he got angry over a tree. Sometimes you just can't satisfy some people. But I do believe that Jonah got it. But that was one of the most dramatic words that a prophet ever gave, where a whole entire city changed and repented. So, you know, repentance is something that we need to embrace. Repentance brings the presence of God in our life. Repentance brings direction, and repentance brings eyesight in the realm of the Spirit. And I just want to encourage us, one of the things that God wants to do in the body of Christ in these last days is he wants to open our eyes. Some of you have been asking for that. Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Now, we all have a desire to see the Lord. We all have a desire to see into that realm. There's nobody in here that wouldn't desire that. But it's a process of being able to have the opportunity to do that. That's done by the Holy Spirit. But you know what? If God opens our eyes to see something, it's just one more piece of equipment that is added to us to carry out our mission. You know, God doesn't send you into a job without equipping you. He doesn't say, go dig a hole without giving you a shovel. And sometimes I've learned that the Lord has given me equipment, but I never asked him how to use it. I just start digging, just thinking, I know, you know, there's so much to following the Holy Spirit that I've learned over a period of years. It's just simply communication and following his leading. And the thing is that we can get down on ourselves, because when that light shines on us, we understand you've come into the light. You've not resisted it. You came into it. And so that light comes on us and we're completely naked. He's able to divide the spirit and the soul and the flesh. And that comes on our light. And we have to embrace that light, because that is the only way that we're going to get into that area of refinement that we asked him to do. And when you said that prayer, God, use me however way you want, he didn't sit there and the recording angel sat there and wrote it down. Well, you know, he said this back and on, and you know, and then boom, he's going to do it. He does. God answers that prayer. So if you wonder why you're in the situation that you're in, or you're in the place that you're in, and the trials that you're in, it's because you threw up that prayer. And you got to a place at some point that you realize that that was more important than anything that you're engaged in. The biggest thing that attacks the body of Christ is to make us carnal, to not believe, you know, to bring us to a place where we're neutralized, and we're so consumed with our life, and consumed with what other people are doing, and, you know, consumed with the football game. I don't usually consume, but I used to. Nothing wrong with watching a football game. But when that becomes your life and you're starting to paint yourself and, you know, you're taking your shirt off and you're then you got a problem, I think. I'm just kidding. If that's what you're doing, it's okay. I don't, you know, more power to you. It's okay. But, you know, you have freedom in the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, that you're here tonight. I usually call you guys the cream of the crop because that's how I see you. I was over in South Africa in a maximum security prison. I mean, this isn't like a maximum security. This is like bad place. And Peter Van Niekerk, who we've had come here, you know, that's where he took me right away. That's just Peter. And I didn't know what I was getting into, but I walked in there and they were like, it was a small room, but there were like 300 prisoners packed into it. And we were in another room ready to go into this room where they were at, and they were singing. It was so loud that it was cement block, obviously, but it was so loud that I had a hard time talking to Peter in the other room. They were singing so loud, and they took us to the room. I mean, it was almost deafening. And when I got up to minister, the Holy Spirit did something to me. I couldn't see any of these people as murderers or any of the things that I saw them as he saw them. It was amazing to me. I came out and I said, what God was doing and what he was saying, I'll never forget, there was this young man there they didn't know what to do with me, but the Lord gave me a word for him and talked about how he was called to be a teacher and this and that. And this guy just started crying. He lost it right there because he was called to do that, and he got off. But God did not lift off the call on his life. He didn't say, you're not going to be, you're still going to be that. And so the perception that you and I have about people must be governed by the Holy Spirit to see the potential in their lives. Because when you begin to see, as the Lord sees in someone, the potential of their life, God empowers you to speak into the potential in their life. But you're not just speaking the potential life, you are speaking to the very call. I call it a call that God had placed in individuals. And when you speak into the life and the Lord is in your mouth, it's like a wind, and they catch fire. And they get on fire for God. Because when God uses you to deliver a personal message to somebody that only could have come from Him, they are touched in such a deep way that brings about change in their life. Why? Because the Lord words, when God sends a word, it does not return to Him void. It does what He purposed it to do. The word of God is nigh thee and in your mouth. And that's where you want to get to the place, because as He refines you and conforms you into His image, you begin to understand what it said about Jesus. It said that He only spoke the words of the Father. That means everything that came out of Jesus' mouth had happened. Remember when He got and they opened up the book of Isaiah and He preached the favorable year of the Lord? He stopped in the middle of the verse in Isaiah because the next word, and the judgment of God. If He had spoken that, it would have happened. So every word that Jesus uttered came from the Father. And it says in the scriptures, He says, because He only spoke the words of the Father, the Spirit of God came on Him without measure. So as you are conformed to His image, and as you learn to speak His words into people's life, the anointing, the power of God is raised up inside of you to such a dimension that you will even be amazed that He could ever even do that through you. And you'll leave that circumstance, that point of contact, that ministry, and you do nothing but praise God because you knew it was Him that delivered that message to that person that was hurting, or that person that needed encouragement, or that person that needed even correction. You know, Stephen brought a lot of correction. He preached. In fact, it says that the spirit of wisdom was so strong on them, they couldn't even argue with Him, and they were like getting so mad at Him, they decided the only thing we can do is stone this guy. And so they do it. So they're stoning Him. Now, I don't know about you, if I had a rock hit my head right now, and I don't know if I could bless Him. I would probably take a rock and throw it back. I mean, I would like to say I'm in that place where Stephen is, and maybe if I get put under that test, I can maybe practice what I'm preaching tonight. But the point is he's getting nailed by rocks. And what does he say? He says two things. First of all, God opens his eyes to see into the realm of the Spirit, and he sees Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. And what does he say? He says, Father, don't hold this against these people. Forgive them, because they didn't know what they were doing. And what kind of transformation, what kind of conforming into the image of Jesus was happening in Stephen? And it's amazing to me. You read some of these accounts in the Bible and you think, how in the world did these guys do what they did? How did Abraham take his son and put him on an altar and was willing to sacrifice him? And so deep was his commitment that the angel had to call out twice to Abraham, 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 don't do it. I mean, I just marvel at some of the things, but I want to encourage you because God can do the same thing in us that he did with these saints that went before us. So the repentance is so important because it opens you up to bring change into your life, which you're crying out for. And repentance is not something that brings you down. Repentance is something that raises you up. And that's really what's in your heart. Some of you are feeling this experience. Some of you are, I mean, when I'm taking a shower, when I'm anywhere, I mean, the Holy Spirit follows me around all the time. I'm actually trying to follow Him. But he's there. And I talk with Him. And I want to get to know Him more. And that's where you're at right now. And He hears you, everything you say. And He knows every thought that comes across your mind. And He knows your heart because He looks upon the heart. And so repent, and it's okay to judge yourself to a degree, but when you get so deep into self-analyzation that it puts you down and brings you low, where you can't think you can do anything and you're unworthy to do anything, that's not from the Lord. He didn't die on the cross to make you feel bad. He didn't die on the cross to say, look in the mirror and judge yourself because you got gray hair. I mean, I had black hair. I had blonde hair because it was soaked in chlorine for years. I stopped diving and it turned black and now it's getting gray. It's got gray in my nose first, so I figure that's wisdom. My nose is wise, what's happened to the rest of me? Now, how did I know that? Self-analyzation. You know, I'm looking at it like, what in the world's going on in here? I'll just cut it. And I started getting gray hair and I started cutting. And I get in my eyebrows, I pull it out, but it's there. So if you don't see it there, just know I yanked it out. It's okay, because I can't, it's like I put out one and three return. So, and then you hear this thing like, if you pull it out, then three or four will come back in. And I said, well, maybe I shouldn't pull it out. I mean, you know, this is a problem. And I started to go, what am I doing? Just go for it. I said, let it happen. So I just want to encourage, self-analyzation is a killer. And if you can get somebody out of that, now they, instead of using the mirror in the morning, they're using the Holy Spirit as their mirror. And that's where conforming to His image comes into focus. Your life is a lot like a Polaroid picture. My life is like, you know, it's not exactly comes into focus right away, but over a period of time, you start to realize what your mission is, what you're to look like, and what you're to be able to pursue. Times are refreshing. Some of you are being refreshed right now. It says, and that He may send you the Christ the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets for ages past. The restoration of all things. You know, this world, you know, at the beginning of creation, God created this planet and it was perfect. And man was perfect too. And then there was the fall. But it said of Jesus that He was the second Adam in the scriptures. They're beyond what we can ask or think. So if you think it's something, that's probably not the Lord, amen? Because God's going to go way past that. So be patient right now, okay? You got time. Time is on your side at this point, amen? Lord, fill her up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and bless her life in Jesus' name. God is so good. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is so good. Lord, I just thank You for my brother here. He's been so faithful holding up this phone the whole time. How can he do it, Lord? Can he do it for another hour? Can he do it for 3 hours, Lord? I think he can, because he's holding in his right hand, which is his dominant hand. It says in the scriptures that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And the right hand is symbol of power. Amen. And power in the Holy Spirit is how the Holy Spirit is training you. You're going to have such an appetite for prophecy. You're going to want to know what's going on in the future. It's like you listen to this person over here and let's hear what they say. And this, well, they're saying something different. And all these people are saying something different. You're like, and you're just saying, well, the real Jesus, just please stand up. God is going to lead you in the scriptures and you will get interpretations. Whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't really matter. The fact that you're seeking Him, He will answer, because when you seek Him through the scriptures and you seek Him in the words of the prophetic, you're actually knocking on a door and the Holy Spirit will open up and He will reveal it to you. For even you have even understood, what in the world was that dream about? I have no idea. Well, that was a pizza dream. And some of them might be pizza dreams. But other dreams are actually the gift of discerning the spirits that is operating in your ministry. You're seeing the spirits that are behind these evil things that are not just going on in other people's lives, but also within the earth. And God will give you understanding how to not just use that gift, but get to get on your knees and pray for the deliverance of those people that you're seeing in your dreams. So I just want to encourage you, that is what's functioning, so you understand what the Holy Spirit is doing. And God is going to raise you up, man. You're like a fiery ball of
God that's just going to go off. Amen. And that word commitment, committing to the Lord, committing your life to God. It's the most satisfying life there is with all of its problems. And God says, I will add relationships to you. I will do it, says the Spirit of God. Allow me to do it, okay? Don't you try to do this. Don't you try. Allow me to do it, because God wants to give you way where beyond what you could ask or think. Lord, I thank you for my brother. Fill him up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. God is so good. What's your name?
Isaiah.
And you're Hezekiah?
Yes.
Thank God.
The power of God, salvation.
Wow, I was just reading Isaiah. Man, God is so good. Amen. It's so good to see you, man. It really is.
Good to be back.
Amen. Isaiah. Oh, man. Have you ever read the prophet Isaiah?
A little bit.
Yeah. You know what happened to him, don't you? I think he was putting a log and sawed in half. But that's not going to happen to you.
No.
I hope not.
No, but no, the prophet Isaiah, if you read, and sometimes he's like talking about this, and all of a sudden he goes off into the future, and he talks about how he sees the planet Earth reeling to and fro like a drunkard. And what he was seeing is what the Lord is going to be doing, and you're going to witness this. In your life, in my life, we're going to see the return of Jesus Christ. And this planet is going to be renovated. It's going to be changed. Because he creates a new heavens and a new earth. And when you leave your body, if when I left my body, I would be in the presence of the Lord. Just like the thief was on the cross. Remember what Jesus said to him? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. But God has created a new heavens and a new earth for us to live. It's amazing when you read the scriptures and you see how the dead in the Christ will be raised first, and then we that are remain and live here will change in a twinkling of an eye. We're given a new body. You see, this body is corrupt. It wears out, it ages. But we got it. Our spirit has to have a body, and he's going to give us a new body. Amen? An eternal body. And so these are the things that you have to look forward to. So I just want to encourage you that the hunger that you have inside of you to follow the Lord is going to give you the information to preach the gospel in this season, in these last days. And what do you mean? I'm not a minister. I don't do that. No, you are a minister. You're a minister to those that are around you. Your congregation is everybody that you know. And God will give you a preceding word to minister to individuals. And you're going to recognize this is the opening that guy was talking to me about. This is the opportunity for me to be able to speak into someone's life. To just give them a word of encouragement. And I will tell you this, the secret or the way that prophetic works, the way that words of knowledge work. All you need to do is when you see that opening, you just say, hey, can I pray with you? And you just pray a blessing over them. Just, Lord, just bless them. It doesn't have to be a fancy, just bless them or whatever. And then when you're done with that prayer, you stop. And any thought that comes into your mind, you tell that individual, I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, and then you say it. And you're going to find out it's going to come straight from heaven. And even you are going to be amazed. And the person that you minister is going to sit there and say, oh, how in the world did you know that? Who are you? And you say, I'm just a servant of God. That's how the prophetic works. And that's what's going to start to function in your ministry. And just what I told you, Isaiah, remembered, read that book. Read Isaiah and see how he prayed. He had more details of the crucifixion than the four Gospels. And he wasn't even there. It's amazing. God wants to do the same thing in your life, because a prophetic mantle that is on me is now going to come upon you in Jesus' name. Lord, I just release the prophetic over my brother in Jesus' name. Fill him up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. How where'd that come from?
Joy.
Oh, okay.
Joy brought it.
Oh. Amen. Did I get you, sister? Did I already get you? Or I got everybody here? Okay. Well, good.
Did you know that Hezekiah means the power of God?
No, I didn't. I did not know that. Did I say that over him? Oh, praise the Lord. That was so good. Amen. So, yeah, just so you guys know that this prophetic anointing, when I first got exposed to prophets, I just watched them and I didn't realize that I sat there and said to myself, this, I could see how this could really help people. And I had no idea that this was ever going to happen. But what I was sharing with you is exactly how it works. The gift of prophecy is for everybody. Okay, it doesn't mean you're a prophet, but anybody can prophesy. And the way it functions is you pray, just pray a blessing. Now, there's other people say, but I just know, just pray a blessing over them. And then when you're done praying, just stop. And when thoughts start coming through your mind, just repeat them and say, I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying. Don't say, thus says the Lord, you know, because it may not be the Lord. But it will be the Lord, because he will honor that. Believe me, there is a. I was over in South Africa, and there is a street evangelist that came up to me, and he was part of our team. And at the end of our mission, he goes, "I really want that gift that you have. I really, really want it. So I want to be able to go to the streets and pick people out and do all that." And I said, "Well, it's the Holy Spirit's the one that gives that, but I'll pray for you." So I prayed for him, and my hands got really hot. I've had that happen, not like that. They were like, I thought they were on fire, so I knew he got something. Well, 2 weeks later, he sends me I share this with everybody here. He sent me a voice text and said he was buying a car and the deal went south, so he went up to the pub and grub in South Africa to get something to eat, and he saw a friend of his there. So he goes and talked to his friend, and his friend had another person with him there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him, says, you have a word for this guy. And he goes, the guy says, can I pray for you? And the guy goes, yes, please. So he prays for him, he prays a blessing. After that, words of knowledge start flowing through him. And he said, he saw him as a Jabez. And he says, you're in a terrible situation, right? I said, it was so detailed. And the guy he's in a bar. And people are watching this. And he breaks down and crying and just starts grabbing the guy and just like, and he goes, how do you know? He goes, who are you? And he goes, I'm just a servant of Jesus Christ. See, this thing is something that works outside these walls. And we just need to be bold and start to do it. We've been too church-minded. Let's build the church. Let's get this. It's out there. It's out there.
It doesn't matter the building, it matters the spirit behind it.
Exactly. Yeah, because you know, the traditions of men are a very lethal thing in this country. I would compare our churches in our country like the Church of Laodicea. They're not hot, they're not cold. And just like tonight, there was a deliverance that took place and other things took place. That's the Lord doing that. That's not us. But he's doing it because he's the head. And I don't care about money. I don't care about, he just said, come here and do this. And I didn't even know, I didn't have a place. I had nowhere to go. I mean, he said, go to Chapin, and I'll give you Chapin, Prosperity, and Newberry. I go, great, where'd I go? And there was a house down the street here that the walls were knocked out, that Roger, who runs this place, wanted to run a ministry out of it. And Alicia, wherever she is, she left. Calls me and says, she goes, hey, there's a house that Roger wants to do some ministry out of, and my son went to school here. So I went and talked to her. I said, yeah, go ahead and use that. So I go over there, and our first meeting we're going to have over there, he had doing a garage sale. So he said, do you mind if you meet in the gym? So no, that's fine with me. So I come over here, and it was a church meeting here. So they had the chairs and all that stuff. And I go, I think my people like to meet over there. Do you mind if, I had maybe 10 people came in. I said, you got mind if I use the gym? Because, no, that's fine. I go, well, how much is it? You know, any rent? Said, no, it's free. And I said, well, can I help you with electricity? He said, no. So, you know, and I'm a coach, so I'm in a gym. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, you really got to.
Right.
So I feel like home here. So anyway, but I'm retired now, so I just do this.
Yeah. Do you know Jim Riley?
I do very well.
Okay.
Yes. And Jim and I go way, way back. Yes.
He was the first, like, 11 years ago, that was the first, like, prophetic, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. I had been around, that I had heard, and We have 7 kids now.
Well, do you? Yeah. Jim is a very, very good prophetic gift. In fact, I'll probably have him out here at some point. He goes a lot, goes to India a lot.
Does he?
Yeah, he travels a lot.
How is Rachel?
I mean, I haven't seen Rachel. I think she's doing fine. I haven't seen Rachel. I run into Jim every now and then. In fact, he called me up the other day. But he's doing good. Jim had some heart issues. Yeah, he did have some heart issues. And I think he had a couple of bypasses or something, but he's doing good now. Yeah, he told me it was a miracle because he said he was about to ready to have a major heart attack or something. But they caught it. So, but he's doing good. He's doing good. But we go way back.
Okay.
Yeah.